post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
The 110th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race is in the past tense. It was run on the same day for a 29th consecutive year. For an 18th consecutive year, we ran the full distance, even if the forecast was not great yesterday or even at times. And yes, we did have a brief red flag for a rain delay that lasted less than 15 minutes. We did have 51 laps of caution today, in part because of moisture. But a very fitting winner was chosen today by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the closest finish in the history of this race. Felix Rosenquist is a first-time winner of the Indianapolis 500. He bested David Malukas by 0.02 of a second. 18 cars finished on the lead lap. 25 cars finished the race running today. A record number of lead changes, 70, just shy of a record number of on-track passes with 628, and just shy of a record 14 different leaders of the 33 cars that took to the track today. Again, 14 different cars led a lap today. But it was Felix Rosenquist that won a one-lap shootout at the end, holding off David Malukas and everyone else behind him. Scott McLaughlin finished third. Pato O'Ward finished fourth. Marcus Armstrong fifth. Rinus VK, Alex Palou, Santino Ferrucci, Romain Grosjean, and Takuma Sato round out your top ten. My name is Greg Rakestraw. Kurt Darling will join me. We will be here between now and 7:30. Listening to us on 93 WIBC, as well as 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Throughout the course of the broadcast, a third voice will join us. He'll be talking about traffic and your best ways out of the area around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And that would be Matt Baer. We kick it to him for a first time now.
All right, Greg, good to hear from you. Looking at northbound 465 on the west side. Yeah, we are already heavy from Crawfordsville Road up to 38th Street and then stop and go before 46 up to I-65. Same with northbound 65. That is stop and go Lafayette Road up to 465. So once you hit the interstate, you'll still have a little bit more traffic, a little bit of waiting to go. Southbound 465 west side stop and go west 10th Street down to Washington Street. And a reminder, if you're coming out of a parking lot right now from the Indianapolis 500, you may not be able to choose your direction, okay? For example, if you're exiting Lot 1B, end up on Georgetown Road, you're going to be heading north towards Lafayette Road and I-65. Just something to keep in mind. Please be patient and definitely watch out for the people walking around. Traffic sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is the weekend summer really starts, so create the perfect backyard with Sullivan Hardware and Garden. All premium patio furniture is an additional 10% off, and umbrellas are an additional 20% off. Get ready for summer at Sullivan's. I'm Matt Baer with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
From the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center, high atop the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Greg Rakestraw, Kurt Darling with you on 93 WIBC, as well as 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. And as expected, it is raining at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We were worried about that proverbial window over Terre Haute. I heard some refer to it as the 710 split. Rain went north of us. Rain went south of us. Again, we paused for about 15 minutes for moisture on the track. We ran some laps under yellow because of moisture on the track. Moisture in the eyes of both Felix Rosenquist and David Malukas for two completely different emotions at the end of this race, and a finish very reminiscent of the Marco Andretti Sam Hornish Jr. finish from 20 years ago. Felix Rosenquist is a first-time winner of the Indianapolis 500. He is a second-time winner in the NTT IndyCar Series. Meyer Shank is a second-time winner, both in the IndyCar Series and at the Indianapolis 500. And Elio Castroneves, as a car owner, is a first-time winner. Again, he is part of the Meyer Shank outfit as well. Greg Rakestraw, Kurt Darling with you between now and 7:30 on the stations that we reference. First of all, my friend, it is good to see you. Good to spend time with you as always. And where do we begin to digest what we witnessed for the last 4 hours?
I don't even know where to start, Rake. It's just one of those races that, in my opinion, it's probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Indy 500 that I have personally seen in my time covering the race. My first race was all the way back in 2002. But bottom line is this, Rake: it was drama filled. It was action packed. Strategy was all over the place, and you just, in my opinion, you couldn't ask anything more out of an Indianapolis 500 than what we just saw, and it rose to every occasion and then some.
Again, 70 lead changes now. Let's explain that a little bit. And if you were at the race, if you were listening to the race, obviously no television blackout this year, so maybe listening to this just for extended coverage after watching the race from your own couch. And if that was the case, God bless you. We had two different fuel strategies that played out at the end. And if we had been able to go caution-free, frankly, I think Felix Rosenquist wins this going away. Because there were basically three cars on what would have been the winning fuel strategy. Meyer Shank had two of them. It was Rosenquist, it was Marcus Armstrong, it was Pato O'Ward in the middle, but O'Ward had pitted two laps ahead of Rosenquist, and Rosenquist had basically got to the point where he was a full go. However, fate intervened. Kyle Collette crashes. We red flag it. It was a brief stop just to give us the opportunity to have a green flag finish. We restart. Yellow hits again because of light contact with Mick Schumacher in the outside of a turn wall. By the time everybody got recollected, it was a one-lap green flag shootout. Thankfully, we completed the 2.5 miles on lap number 200, and Malukas charged to the front. He had the lead in turn one. He had the lead in turn two. He had the lead in turn three. He had the lead in turn four. He did not have the lead at the yard of brick. Simply put, how did the guy that everybody calls Fro get it done?
He got it. Well, hey, it was a brilliant strategy call by Mike Shank and the whole Meyer Shank Racing squad to pit at a point in the race where, okay, they were thinking they have to do something different because otherwise it was going to be the Alex Palou show, maybe a little bit of sprinkled David Malukas in there as well as Scott McLaughlin. And so right after one of those mid-race cautions, I believe it was relatively quickly after the Will Power incident where they go ahead and pit, they get the fuel, and they try and go on a massive fuel save strategy, and that is what set them apart. And based on how things shook out, it became one of those things where, hey, the guys who are good on fuel but have to make one more stop, you're going to have to go cycle back, and then they're going to have to try and chase them down. Granted, they don't get another caution, but still, you get that caution from Kyle Collette, and so then it puts everybody back on an even playing field. Alex Palou and David Malukas had fresher tires at that particular point, but we heard on the radio from Mike Shank is the fact that they were good on fuel, and so it was just a drag race to the finish. And so it was a bold strategy, and of course, pardon the pun there from Dodgeball, but either way, it was a bold strategy call right there by Mike Shank to, hey, let's get off to a different alternate strategy. You had Armstrong go with it, and then, of course, Pato O'Ward bid on it as well, and it almost paid off for Pato O'Ward, but that was really the big difference maker that ultimately put Rosenquist in the right position to get that win.
Cotton, it worked out.
It did work.
It worked out for the Meyer Shank guys again for their second Indy 500 win. Obviously, Elio back in 2021 being the other 5 years ago. We would love for you to interact with us. Simply put, Twitter's probably the best way to do it. Those of you on Facebook, I've got a post there. We'll read some great comments, too. At Greg Rakestraw, at Kurt Darling underscore PBP is how you can interact with the two of us. We'll read some of the best comments throughout the course of our program. We will bring you the winner's press conference, which is probably 45 minutes to an hour from happening already.
Got to do the hat dance.
Already, David Malukas and Scott McLaughlin have made their way, and we will bring that to you as the second and third place finishers. We'll bring that to you probably about 10 to 15 minutes or so, so you'll hear from those drivers. We'll have highlights, quotes, and more between now and 7:30. Something else we'll also have with us for the at least first couple thirds of the show is the outstanding Matt Baer in WIBC traffic.
J. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure looking at eastbound 16th now. Of course, you know it's going to be stopped from the roundabout out to Tibbs Avenue. Kind of a rule of thumb right now with these east-west streets. If it's heading towards the track, it's going to be closed. Heading away, it's going to be open. Now, you may not get to choose your direction heading out of the parking lot here. The police are out there directing traffic. So if you come out, say, on Georgetown Road, you'll likely be pushed north to Lafayette Road and I-65. And a reminder, this may not affect you, but a lot of these exit ramps on the west side are closed. You can still go ahead and hop on to the interstates from Speedway, but if you're trying to get out, that's not going to happen. And we do have traffic on the interstates, like southbound 465 completely jammed after Crawfordsville Road past Rockville Road. Northbound lanes are slammed right now from Crawfordsville Road up to West 56th Street. Then northbound 65 is stop and go from Lafayette Road up to West 71st Street. If you're going home to Brownsburg, westbound 74 loaded coming out of the interchange up to Country Club Road. And we stop again right before Ronald Reagan Parkway. I shouldn't say stop and go at the moment. Traffic sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is the weekend. Summer really starts, so create the perfect backyard with Sullivan Hardware and Garden. All premium patio furniture is additional 10% off, and umbrellas are an additional 20% off. Get ready for summer at Sullivan's. I'm Matt Bear. Follow us for instant traffic updates at WIBC Traffic.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
We are broadcasting to you from the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center. It happens higher. Hensley, Greg Rakestraw, Kurt Darling. Thanks to Kurt Gerald and Scott Johnston behind the scenes. You are listening on WIBC, WIBC HD1, WIBC HD2, WIBC HD3, WFNI, W298BB, and W228CX Indianapolis. You're welcome for that, by the way. That's 93.1 FM. You got it. 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. And again, this is continued post-race coverage of the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. 2 years ago was a victory for passion and logistics. We didn't start till about 4:45. We got it finished around 8 o'clock. Folks were here until 10 o'clock. We were slightly rain-delayed, one that was similar to 25 years ago. 25 years ago, we had a 16-minute red flag. This was about 13, 14 minutes. And again, because of the yellows and because of some moisture in the area, this race ran just a tad bit long, which is why we're going to give you an extra half an hour of post-race coverage. We'll be here until 7:30. Again, we'll work in social media commentary. Let me start with this one from Jeremy in Columbus. Today I became a huge fan of Malukas. Man, that young man left it all on the track. And his emotional post-race interview was raw and real. We need more of that. That said, congrats to Felix Rosenqvist on an incredible move at the end and a great race. There is little doubt about that. Again, quickly at the end of the race, third-place finisher Scott McLaughlin, second-place finisher David Malukas, made their way to the press conference room directly above us from about 20 or so minutes ago. Let's bring you that post-race conversation.
I just don't know what else we could have done. I mean, we were driving 150% that whole race. The guys did a fantastic job getting the car where it needed to be. We had the fastest car out there that whole race. It was ours to win, and I knew that. So I've never pushed that hard in my whole life. Just to finish, like, I can't believe it. This whole season, even before, it's just keep getting a lot of seconds, but we just can't. Just can't get. I mean, now it's like. I mean, I don't know how much closer you can get to getting. And now we're even P2 in the championship. It was great. So many seconds, but on a high note, though. I mean, this team, everybody from Verizon and the whole crew, and even outside the 12 crew, but the 2 car, the 3 car, everybody is. I've been through many different teams. Although I'm still young, 2024. From the wrist injury, been so many different teams, and nobody's like Team Penske here. Everybody is just so closely connected and truly feels like family. And obviously coming from all of that, Roger was one of the first guys to come to me and tell me that he believes in me and told me to keep on pushing. And I mean, because of him, I can sit here and cry that I'm going for a P2 position. I think that's why it's very emotional for me, because I really wanted to get a win for this team and just want to be, you know, written across those history books. But everything happens for a reason. I think this is there's a reasoning to this, so we're going to just use it as more motivation and just keep pushing forward, and someday maybe it'll happen.
More questions for either one. Zion, go ahead.
For both of you, we get that red flag and you're multiple spots behind the top position. What's kind of the mindset that you're just kind of sitting there in pit lane waiting?
I mean, for me, I was 10th on that first one, and I was like, I'm just going to ship it, and if I crash, I crash. Like, this is it, you know, and, you know, this is the pinnacle, and this is what I want out of everything, and I think Dave would have been the same. I think we were on the alternate strategy, but we had a couple, we had 10 or so laps better tire than everyone else, so we knew that we probably had grip on the restarts, grip up high. It's just a matter of just making it happen, and, I mean, you did. You were leading, bud, but, and you're young. You're going to be fine. We're both going to get one, I reckon. Hopefully.
David, you come out of turn four. You're just trying to break that draft. What did you see with his speed that just allowed him to catch up to you?
I mean, he just had a really good run. There's nothing else I could have done. I don't know. I'm trying to think back, maybe something different with deployment here or there. But
there's no way, man.
There's just no way. I in the car, it looked a lot closer, which it was really, really close. But from the run, I didn't know he had that big of a run. Watching the replay and seeing the run that he had, it actually made me feel better, because then I'm like, to be honest, I don't think there's literally anything I could have done. Maybe could have shortened it by a couple thousands, but I think that was the IMS gods telling me that it's not my time.
Let's go Jeff and then Jenna after that. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, David. Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. So I imagine your initial reaction is based on feeling like you could have done something different. And then when you're looking at the screen over and over again out there and you're realizing, you know, it's not necessarily something you could have done, the disappointment's still there, but I assume that it's not so much on you. Does that change how you're going through that moment, or is the pain consistent through that whole thing regardless?
I mean, the pain's still there. It makes it feel a little bit better. Like I said, watching it, he just had such a big run. There's definitely nothing. There's just nothing. With the positioning, the timing of all of it, there's nothing we could have done. But we did everything we could, and it's just a big thank you to this team. They gave me the best car out there. So, yeah.
And then how did you find the sort of strength in that moment to just even, I mean, you probably could have sat there for like 10 minutes with your helmet on, you know, but you took your helmet off, you did the interviews, you did all that stuff. Like, how did you decide to push forward in that moment, which is really challenging?
Well, I think it's just because I really started to beat myself up in that car, so I kind of told myself I need to get out of here before I just keep on overthinking and making things so much worse. I just had to get out, and I mean, it was a good decision to do, get out and just see everybody and kind of just let the emotions out, because in the car it was not good thoughts.
Jenna?
Scott, you were really heartbroken a year ago. David, you're heartbroken today. Does this race hurt more than others do?
All right, hear me out. It's Christmas, but no, not everyone gets a present, and that's the worst part about it, because you like wake up, you're like, yo, we got a present, we're gonna get presents, it's gonna be sick, and then only one guy goes home with one. That's what my mum said, and like that's like, it's kind of a good way to look at it, but at the same time, like, yeah, everyone here that finishes not first, you know, despises today, and it is what it is. But you know, I mean, you just got to take the learnings, whatever it is, whether, you know, you crashed last year or you finished where we finished today. Like, what could you have done different? What could you have done better? What could you have not done, you know, what was out of your control, and just come back stronger? I mean, personally, I've hardly seen the replay, David, but I don't think you had any, you know, fight back at that position. The speed was slow. Felix was going to get a run regardless. It sucks, but because I think if the pace is faster, it's a normal race, I think David squeezes one home. But it's just off a restart. I'm not, that's just, yeah.
Are you surprised, David, at how much this hurts?
Not really, to be honest. I just knew this whole month our car was spectacular. So, and I knew if we were going to be in a position like that, I mean, it was going to hurt. I was just so committed in my mind. I was not nervous. I was not anything on those last few restarts. I just, for some reason in my head, I felt like we got this. We're going to get it. And we didn't by just a few little bits. So I think that's why it hurt, because in my mind, I really thought we were going to win it, and we didn't get that right. I think it's when you give yourself a goal, and then when you don't achieve it, it tends to hurt. And I think that's why it hurt so much.
Zion, and then Bob after that.
David, you had said that last year kind of replayed in your mind for a whole year, and that was with, you know, about a tenth of the race to go. What is kind of the coping process to get over this one, an even closer finish for you?
Just use it to drive me even more. I mean, last year was more in the fact of, hey, I do belong here. I can be there in the end for the fight. Now it feels more of, okay, I've learned what it is to be in those last 20, 30 laps. I learned from last year what I did wrong, corrected it this time. Of course, a little different scenario, but in whatever scenario I was in, I felt like we were on the right strategy and we made all the right decisions. So I think going around this time, we know we're there, we know we have it. This time it's just more of got to use it to just build this drive, keep this momentum going. Obviously, we still have a whole season for this year, and we got 365 days until this, so we're going to keep going.
Bob?
For both of you guys, were you okay with IndyCar kind of red flagging it like they've done in the recent years, and then going, you know, accelerating that last caution to have a one lap dash to the finish?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, in our position, yes. I mean, you know, it's.
You ask Marcus Armstrong, he'd probably say no.
Yeah. But I think, like, you know, we all know that that's probably what's going to happen. I mean, I imagine if it was less laps, they might have shut it down, but.
At the end of the day, in those situations, it's what is the best decision for the fans. So even no matter what position, I think, you know, even if you're in Marcus's position, you want a good show. You want it to be under green, and I think no matter what, that is what should always be the right decision, is to go green and give everybody a show.
Again, that is David Malukas and Scott McLaughlin, the second and third place finishers. Press conference took place about 20 or so minutes ago. We will bring you the Felix Rosenquist winner's press conference. I'm sure that Elio Castroneves, Jim Meyer, Michael Shank will all be a part of that as well. Again, this is the closest finish in race history. Here are the five that have been less than a tenth of a second, and they have all happened since 1992 until now. Little Al and Scott Goodyear in 92, Ryan Hunter Ray and Elio Castroneves in 14, the aforementioned Sam Hornus Jr., Marco Andretti, in 2006. Fifth closest finished, Joseph Newgarden over Marcus Ericsson in 2023. Those are the five closest finishes in the history, the 110-year history, 110 race history of the Indianapolis 500. Greg Rakestraw and Kurt Darling with you. You can interact with us on social media. We'll get your comments. Best ways to go through Twitter, at Greg Rakestraw, at Kurt Darling underscore PBP. All right, let's check in with Matt Baer, the latest on WIBC traffic.
All right, Ray, complicating our exit from the IMS today is the rain, so please watch out for the pedestrians. You could have a foggy window because of the humidity, and visibility could be low, and lots of people, of course, out walking around, so keep that in mind. The rain has also slowed down the interstates a little bit, like southbound 465. That's barely moving in parts from Crawfordsville Road past Rockville Road. Northbound 465 jams from Crawfordsville Road past 38th Street, then slow up to West 56. Northbound 65 to stop and go Lafayette Road up to West 71st Street, and going home to Brownsburg, westbound 74 jams from 465 up to 38th Country Club. Now, kind of a rule of thumb you can use here for leaving the IMS: if you're going away, that street's going to be open. If you're going towards the racetrack, that street could be closed. I've been told East 16th Street eastbound has been moving. If you're doing some private parking, getting on 16th Street, that is pushing you towards downtown Indianapolis right now. Traffic spot sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is the weekend. Summer really starts, so create the perfect backyard with Sullivan Hardware and Garden. All premium patio furniture is an additional 10% off, and umbrellas are an additional 20% off. Get ready for summer at Sullivan's. I'm Matt Bear. Follow us for instant traffic updates at WIBC Traffic.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
From the Hensley Legal Group Command Center, it happens higher. Hensley, listing your place for the race, 93 WIBC. Phil is 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan, Grand Greg Shaw, Kurt Darling. We'll get you home between now and 7:30 between Matt Bear checking in on traffic on an every break basis as well. Again, we can interact with you via social media at Greg Rakestraw on Twitter at KurtGarling_PBP. If you're a Facebook friend of mine, look me up there. Greg Rakestraw's a unique name. I'm easy to find. And a lot of good comments posted already from Ryan in Westfield. Exciting and fun race, more so than in recent years. I feel for Malukas, but that finish was the best since Newgarden won his second. Great driving across the board. Congrats to Felix and to all the others. Remember the passion and drive today, every day, and make next year's race just as great. Good luck to the drivers for the rest of the series. Yesterday was a day that was another good one for the NTT IndyCar Series.
It certainly was, Rake. You had all the drama that you could possibly ask for and then more. And believe it or not, it was all organic. All of it happened because of how the race just happened to play out. It wasn't one of those things where, oh, the controversial drop a red flag here, even though there was that red flag late. It was the correct decision to make that call, by the way.
And precedent has been set the last few years. We're not going to do a green-white checkered here, but we will red flag a race to try to give the paying customers a green flag finish, which did happen today.
Especially with 8 laps to go, it was more than justifiable to do that. But regardless of how that went down, bottom line is this, it was an organic race that had a lot of drama. You had a whole bunch of different records that were either impacted, set, broken, or even made close to. And overall, Rake, it just once again just shows how this race, ever since the 100th running, when it was becoming, even before that, just kind of ho-hum a little bit here and there, ever since the 100th running, this race has just kept on building momentum, and that momentum has really come to a head, and if not, it just keeps moving forward in the right direction as we go to the 111th next year.
Lots of kudos for Roger Penske and Doug Bowles kind of in the comment feed, which we will get to as well. Want to get back to David Malukas, and frankly, we seem to talk more about the runner-up than the winner. We will get talking about the winner. We will hear from Felix Rosenquist. But again, the emotion on display from David Malukas, it took him a couple minutes to get out of his car. It took him a couple of minutes for him to take his helmet off. Then he did those interviews, both with Fox and the IndyCar Radio Network, and then you heard the press conference. He was, as all these guys are, exceedingly professional. David Malukas won a lot of fans today. There is an obvious couple of parallels here, one that is spot on, the other one that I hope for David's sake is not. Again, we rattled off the closest finishes, but in terms of a pass at the start finish line, the obvious tie-in is Sam Hornish Jr. getting past Marco Andretti. That is the obvious tie-in, and it's a round number anniversary being 20 years since that time. And I remember going, well, it was Marco's first race at the 500. He'll have plenty of chances. Well, he did.
And it never came to pass.
He had 19 more, and he was close a couple of times early, and it went away. Now, Malukas is 24. Malukas is with Team Penske. He was the runner-up last year driving for A.J. Foyt. Again, in theory, he's getting a lot of chances, and you could hear and sense it in Scott McLaughlin's voice. He was being a great teammate and friend. Nothing you could do, mate. Hey, you and I both have a chance, Ira. You could hear that without having laid eyes on it. You could almost like the older brother feel that McLaughlin was giving him, consoling him in that press conference. So I hope that Malukas has chances, and I think if he wins next year, the year after, et cetera, because of the way things played out today, it'd be a very popular win if he did. But sometimes that one chance, is the one chance you get.
Absolutely. And at the top of the broadcast, you said it perfectly, Rake. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway chooses the winner, and this year she chose Felix Rosenquist. And so you talk a lot about the Hornish Andretti finish as well. Well, that was the first time in the history of the 500 that there had been a last lap pass for the win, and then five others have happened since then. And so you just talk about the precedent that that has been setting for this race here over these last two decades. And when you talk about David Malukas having been the runner-up last year, granted, he was the runner-up last year in a Foyt car with a little bit of Penske help as well.
Sure.
That was an overachievement in that respect. Well, now he's in the big team with Team Penske. So last year he was happy to be second. This year, understandably so, he's a little frustrated and upset to be second, and he has every right to feel that way, given the fact that he literally laid everything out on the line. And the most impressive thing that I loved about that last couple of laps for David Malukas was on that final restart with, or at that second to last restart, I should say, out of the red flag, where he went from sixth to second. And that was a huge move going into turn one, and that really set things up for that big battle at the end. But you're right, Rake. He won a lot of fans today, and it just seems like the time will be coming for David Malukas.
All right, got this from James. A couple minutes, we got to get you another traffic update, another quick timeout. So a couple of quick things to try to answer here from James. Fantastic race that lived up to the hype. I hope we haven't seen Elio's last 500 attempt. Do you think he'll be back? I do. Hello, Nick Yeoman. Good to see you here and in Charlotte. Good to see you here today, buddy. Hope you had a great view from turn number one. On Elio, yes, I think he's coming back for one more. The thing that could take that away going forward is that, and it's a tough concept to explain, but there are these 25 charters now for the full-time teams. There's going to be an extra kind of charter given to the Honda-powered supply teams, and an extra charter given to the Chevrolet-powered teams. Meyer Shank is basically getting one of those, you know, for the Honda guys. And so because of that, maybe the thought is that maybe Elio won't have the opportunity all that much longer once that extra charter gets there. Elio ends up finishing 25th. He was on the lead lap until the very end. I think his chances of winning the race go down year by year. But let's face it, again, he's part of the ownership group now, and if he wants to run, it's not going to be a problem for him to get sponsorship to run the car. I honestly think it's that charter coming in that might slow their efforts of having the 06 for Elio. I do think we'll see him at least one more time.
Well, when you talk about Elio, Greg, and this is something that I thought of a little bit earlier on, is the fact that now Elio joins another exclusive club in Indy 500 lore. A.J. Foyt was the only driver to win four Indy 500s and then another one as an owner. Now you have Elio Castroneves winning as an owner and now also has four Indy 500s as a driver. So now you only have two men ever to say that they could possibly have done that. On top of that, he finishes today
Correct.
As the overall leader in total miles completed in Indy 500 competition, 12,490 miles, which surpassed A.J. Foyt's previous record. And so on top of that, Elio Castroneves has won more money than any other driver in the Indianapolis 500 as well. So that being said, you could see him coming back for another one, but the only thing left for him to do to really cement his place as possibly the greatest competitor in Indy 500 history is to win number five. And he could certainly try and do that, but like you said, the charter conversation throws a whole monkey wrench into that as well. Does Meyer Shank have the money to field a fourth one-off maybe next year?
Winning a 500 helps your money effort.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it certainly
okay
does.
Cash, yeah.
Absolutely, but still either way, there's a lot of variables here, but I'm with you. I do expect to see Elio at least for one more year.
By the way, let's also say this. There are now five drivers that have completed 10,000 miles or more at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And by the way, I can do the quick math. That means 4,000 laps or more. Three of them were in today's race. Ed Carpenter, Scott Dixon, Elio Castroneves that are now a part of that group. We will take this quick timeout. We'll come back with more of your tweets, more of your Facebook posts, more of your thoughts as to what transpired today. Felix Rosenquist has now added his name and likeness well, it's not there yet, but it will be eventually, on the BorgWarner Trophy, becoming the 77th different driver to win an Indianapolis 500-mile race. So check in with Matt Baer, the latest on WIBC traffic.
All right, fellas, remember, if you're coming out of your parking lot, the direction you go in is probably already chosen for you. Like if you're leaving, say, 20th, 21st, 22nd streets, and you're there going westbound, you hit Lyndhurst. According to what I have here, you're going to be going south towards 16th Street, okay? You're not going to be able to go north towards 25th. Just follow cops directions, and you'll be just fine. Rain kind of messed with us a little bit. I think that's just about over if it's not already. But northbound 465, there is a crash at Crawfordsville Road on northbound, and the left lane is blocked. That has traffic slow back to West 10th Street. Southbound 465, plenty of race traffic ready from Crawfordsville Road to West 10th Street, then to Rockville Road. That's slow to stop and go. Westbound 74 towards Roundsburg. Stop and go traffic from 465 up to Country Club, but again before Raceway to Ronald Reagan Parkway. Northbound 465, stop and go traffic 38th Street up to I-65, and northbound 65 slam from Lafayette Road up to West 71st Street. I've been told East 16th Street is running in the eastbound direction without any problems. That's West 16th Street running in the eastbound direction. It's awfully slow, but at least you're moving. Traffic sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is the weekend summer really starts, so create the perfect backyard with Sullivan Hardware and Garden. All premium patio furniture is an additional 10% off, and umbrellas are an additional 20% off. Get ready for summer at Sullivan's. I'm Matt Baer. Follow us for instant traffic updates at WIBC Traffic.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
Again, many thanks to our studio producer and Kurt Gerrolds. Scott Johnston, as always, is the brains of the operation. Greg Rakestraw and Kurt Darling with you on 93 WIBC, as well as 93.5 and 107.5, the fan. We are inside of the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center at Happensire Hensley, and I can confirm rain has ceased here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Again, we threaded the needle today. Race took a little bit longer because of a 15 or so minute red flag, because of cautions that took place, again, because of moisture. Obviously, there were accidents, two of them, in the final eight laps, one that I'll get to coming up in a matter of moments, but it all adds up to Felix Rosenquist becoming a first-time winner of the Indianapolis 500. We had four rookies that completed the race today. A total of 808 persons now have run in an Indianapolis 500 as of today. Again, at Greg Rakestraw, at Kurt Darling underscore PBP. You want to interact with us on Twitter, Facebook. Greg Rakestraw, the best way to go about doing that. From Ken by way of Chicago, whose heart is always in Greencastle. I'll just say that Doug Bowles and Roger Penske have taken a historically significant event that was becoming moot quickly and taken it to levels one could not have imagined a decade ago. The 500 is in very good hands. And that plays off the comment that you made going back to the 100th anniversary edition won by Alexander Rossi 10 years ago. And Doug was very quick to point out at that time, he said, when we measure the 2017 500, we are not going to measure it against the 2016. Mm-mm. We're going to say, are we in a better place than we were in 2015? And other than throw away the COVID year, the answer has been unequivocally yes. And for this race to sell out in the early fashion at which it did, and again, you and I get to sit here and watch the race from the third floor of the media center. We have kind of all of the sound elements around us, but we're kind of watching the race on TV like a lot of folks were able to do this year as well. And when you see the variety of overhead shots, and by the way, the addition of drone technology has made this race coverage even, it's always been great. It is even better significantly, I think, because of that. Now, when you see all the overhead shots of the stands, you don't see many empties. You'll see a couple of patches in a turn, maybe a little inside of the front straightaway. But there's 350-something thousand people that are here. I'm not sure if the month of May will be replicated as to what it was in the days where 60, 70, 80 cars tried to make this event. It's just not feasible anymore. But by God, race day is still something special.
It's always delivered on race day, regardless of whether or not you have the drama of bumping or anything leading up to it as well. And you take a look at those drone shots, the camera shots, or even just experiencing it right here with your own eyes here, Rake. There was nary a seat to be had in this facility. But on top of that, you love the ability to get people who are otherwise not race fans at all to come out here to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, whether it be by the different concerts you have coming up to race day, or of course you involve the Snake Pit, or any of the other different activities that all you need is a GA ticket to get in here. North of 350,000 people were here at the Indianapolis 500 today, which of course is larger than the city of Pittsburgh by population if you really want to get into the numbers with that. But to the point of just the momentum of this race and where it is right now in the modern era of IndyCar, so let's call that post reunification 2007-2008. Yep. The Indianapolis 500 has not been in a more healthy place than it is right now.
And again, the television partnership with Fox has been tremendous. I thought NBC was a good partner. Obviously, ABC historically was tremendous to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But Fox has bumped it up another level. And there are synergies that Fox, because they are literally invested, as in one-third owner of the track, of the Speedway, a partner with Penske Entertainment, they roll out all the big guns. You have the network coverage. You had 4 hours until the rain got in the way of Carb Day coverage on Fox. Pre-race coverage started at 10 a.m. today. Again, I think the series, is it perfect? No. But it's getting more right than it's getting wrong. Now, again, we tend not to focus about the series as much when we get now. Now we'll kind of go back thinking about the series as of tomorrow and thinking we'll talk about the points coming up in our matter moments, talk about Detroit coming up next week. But again, things are trending in the right direction for both the Indianapolis 500 and for IndyCar.
Well, and if you're an avid IndyCar fan, then you understand that the series doesn't happen without the Indianapolis 500. The Indianapolis 500 is the anchor of this series, and so it's imperative that the greatest race in the world as part of your series is in a healthy spot. And so for a while there, as it was indicative of where the series was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, you started to see that slipping of the health of the race, the health of the series. And so with that, you see that dichotomy of, oh, okay, the 500 is in a better place now, and in turn, the series is in a better place as well.
Quick from Jeff on Twitter. It looked like Will Power brushed the third turn wall early in the race. Anyone else notice that? Frankly, I did not. Obviously, he had an issue that he noted and got off the track and obviously caused a yellow, but still could have left a lot more fluid, could have made contact with somebody. Will recognized that it simply wasn't his day. The car was going awry. Frankly, when that happened, he was not a factor. Of the first six cars out of the race, four of them were former champions, Will being one of them. But unfortunately, you make the tie from the 500 to the overall series. Frankly, the way things have been going so far in the series for Will in his first year with Andretti kind of reflected, was not a factor in today's race.
Well, this whole month of May for Andretti was really just not up to snuff for where they wanted it to be. And so with that being said, I couldn't tell you if it was contact with an outside wall or anything like that. He's listed as being out with a mechanical because it was a gearbox issue.
Should have contacted him. Potentially, I didn't catch
something.
It.
It's all conjecture right now. But either way, you feel for Will Power, moving on from Team Penske, now going into another big team with Andretti, which has been starved for some success. And they've been starting to get that a little bit with Kyle Kirkwood. But, Kirkwood only finishes 16th today. Marcus Ericsson, he finishes 13th today. And then Will Power is out early in that one. So for lack of a better word, it was a very mediocre performance this month here for the
Ericsson was probably more of a factor than being 13th. But again, did any of the Andretti cars really factor in the decision? No. Obviously, Kyle Kirkwood has kind of been the best driver behind Alex Palou for the last couple of 3 years. Hasn't necessarily translated to the racetrack. His issue, which was the same issue that to some degree Joseph Newgarden overcame before he then made a mistake and exited the race early, but simply had to pass too many cars today, starting from towards the back of the field. And as you mentioned, Kyle Kirkwood finishes in 16th position. Again, we will bring you Felix Rosenquist's winner's press conference, which we think will happen at some point in time early in the 6 o'clock hour. You may hear cheers kind of in the background. Those are fans cheering on Felix. A lot of them have a Swedish flag with them, the Tri-Corona being very much well represented. We'll keep taking your tweets, your Facebook posts, and your overall thoughts as to how this one played out. We are with you until 7:30. Greg Rakestraw and Kurt Darling. Right now, let's turn it back over to Matt Baer in WIBC traffic.
All right, gentlemen, looking at southbound Lindenhurst. Feels like the road to nowhere right now from 25th down to Rockville Road. We are stopped, jammed, not moving. Check it out. Lafayette Road, southbound lanes are stopped from west 30th Street down to 16th, so you have a stretch to go there. Northbound jammed from Cold Spring Road up to west 30th Street. And I have a couple of medical emergencies he sees here. 10th at Holmes, also 30th at Moeller, and not a lot you can do about those other than trying to give them room to be able to do what they do, because it is tight and I know it. Now, looking at northbound 465 on the west side, that's a crash at Crawfordsville Road blocking the left lane. Has a slow past 21st. Southbound 465 completely jammed right now from Crawfordsville Road past West 10th Street, then slow through Rockville Road. Northbound lanes of 465 on the west side stop and go from the 74 ramps up to West 56th Street. And when you finally make it to Lafayette Road and hop on 65 northbound to stop and go past I-65 up to West 71st Street. Traffic sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is the weekend. Summer really starts, so create the perfect backyard with Sullivan Hardware and Garden. All premium patio furniture is an additional 10% off, and umbrellas are an additional 20% off. Get ready for summer at Sullivan's. I'm Matt Baer. Follow us for instant traffic updates at WIBC Traffic.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
Back inside the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center at Happens Higher. Hensley, listen to continued coverage. 110th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. On 93 WIBC and 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Alongside Kurt Darling, my name is Greg Rakestraw. Felix Rosenquist, we think, is making his way to the fourth floor media center above us for his winner's press conference. I know that Michael Shank and other members of his team are in that press conference. Now, let's go ahead and listen in live and see what they have to say about that group becoming Indy 500 winners for a second time.
You know, he's always been in contention to win races, only to for a way that he ends up not winning them. And just how much more satisfying does that make, the fact that once he broke through, it was in the biggest race in the world?
This is all we needed. I told these guys literally last night, I felt like this group is pushing the door open and it's getting ready to snap. We need one thing, and I hope this is it. He deserves it. He's had some tough luck in the past in situations like this, and he closed it today. Couldn't be more happy.
Jenna, do you have one?
I'll ask one. When you won the Indy 500 with Elio, that gave your program a big boost.
Yeah.
What do these wins do for an organization?
Sure. I mean, number one, it's absolutely fantastic for our sponsors, which, man, oh, man, we've you know, SiriusXM, I just have to thank, and they've been with us since the first day. Yeah. And they stay with us, and between efforts that my son's organization and SiriusXM have put together, now we found, honestly, a really good formula for promoting music channels, talk channels on the car, connecting it to the artist, connecting it to, and that gives us a much wider berth. This will explode tonight, okay? And obviously, Morgan Wallen is one of the biggest artists in the world right now. So really, really proud of that. You know, all of you know Elio's an owner in our group, too. And Elio, I think Elio is happier than Mike and I. You know, he's on cloud nine, it changes everything. I think is the only way I can say it. It's an amazing thing. I will tell you, once you win it, all you want is to win it again.
That's it. Noting that Morgan. Go ahead, Tim. Yeah, you have some.
Some love from Morgan on Instagram. It took a win to get it, but we're super happy he did it.
We'll take it. Bob, go ahead.
Michael, how close do you think you have been to winning since the last Indy 500 win?
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you feel like this program needs to do to win more consistently?
Well, I think we're doing it. And my analogy I had, that we're right there on the precipice, getting ready to burst the door down. That's how I feel about the organization. We're right, you know, we're kind of a upper mid-pack team is how I look at it now, but we're right there at the top. And this proves that we can do it when it's all set up correctly. So it's just constant improving. Constant improving. We want to get to the next level. And as Jim said, you know, I can't thank CGR enough. You know, the relationship we have with Chip and his engineer, Chris Simmons and that group, engineers that we have on our project, are just f- phenomenal. And that relationship couldn't be better right now.
And what does it say about Felix as a driver to, you know, to make those three passes in one lap?
Just think about that, hanging on the outside here on the last lap of the last turn of the Indianapolis 500, right? Like, it just blows me. He was pushing every button on that steering wheel to get every bit of Honda power out of that thing. All the hybrid, all the power, everything we had was on the track. But he was still thinking the whole time. It wasn't just like, I'm hanging on to the outside and we'll see what happens. He knew where he was in space, right? He knew he had a good run on the 12 car, and it worked. And he deserves this win. He really does.
Yeah, I just want to mention, too, we targeted trying to get Felix 3 years ago. He was the guy we wanted. And I think it's been really, really rewarding to watch the chemistry he's built with the team. How the two trust each other, and I think that played a big part in today's win.
Yeah.
Let's go with Zion and then Marshall Pruitt after that. Go ahead, Zion.
Mike, this morning you talked about how this team was kind of operating at the best it had been in its history and how you had all this positive momentum, but you needed a win. What does it say that through all the chaos that happened in that last stint that you guys were able to pull through?
It was just heartbreaking. Felix had it covered. Our strategy was the right strategy today. I'm really proud of that. But we had it covered. When that yellow came out, I didn't know what was going to happen. And when you're leading this thing, obviously you get overwhelmed in turn one and two usually. So, but he just kept kicking, just never stopped. And I can't wait to watch it back tonight. He just didn't stop, and I think it says a lot about him. I mean, he's got a lot to live for in racing right now, and still young enough to be around for a while, and he's showing his true talent.
I wanted to go back.
Felix Rosenquist, 34 years of age, to kind of play off of that. And what happened? Well, Michael swore on national television, and I get it. I probably would have done the exact same thing if I had been in that spot and thought, I've got this thing won, and I've got the third-place car, too, with 8 laps left to go. It worked out well in the end for Meyer Shank Racing. So you're listening to Jim Meyer and Michael Shank. Those are the voices you were hearing.
You mentioned Felix Rosenquist being 34 years old. He is now the 9th driver to win the Indianapolis 500 at the age of 34. So one of the many factoids and tidbits that you're able to look up here, of course, it's nobody's better than that than Donald Davidson. But either way, it's one of the many things that you certainly like to dive into as you unpack another win here for the Indianapolis 500.
We will likely, when we return, go back to that press conference with the assumption that Felix Rosenquist will join by the time we are back from these finely crafted commercial messages, as is the case for at least another half hour or so on the show. With the end of those said commercial messages, with Matt Baer in WIBC traffic.
All right, guys, great to be here. Checking out these northbound roads towards the 38th Street, like Georgetown Road. Of course, that's completely stuffed right now from the Speedway up to 34th. And then Muller Road is stopped, 25th Street on up to 38th Street. And the same with High School Road, just post-race traffic, 25th Street up to 38th Street, and not moving at all right now. There is a crash north of the track. Here's Georgetown Road at West 52nd Street. You might run into a medical emergency, say like at 10th at Holmes or 30th at Muller. Just do your best to give them room. I know it's tight right now. Northbound 465 west side, of course, a crash at Crawfordsville Road has a slow to West 21st Street, and then after that stop and go traffic up to I-65. Southbound 465 on the brakes, big time. Crawfordsville Road past 10th to Rockville Road. Going home to Brownsburg, westbound 74. A little traffic off 465 to Country Club, then stop and go to Ronald Reagan Parkway. Eastbound 16th Street is moving right now from the Speedway out to Tibbs and then to White River Parkway, moving slowly, but at least you're getting away from the Speedway, more towards I-65 and downtown here for the moment. Traffic sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is the weekend summer really starts, so create the perfect backyard with Sullivan Hardware and Garden. All premium patio furniture is an additional 10% off, and umbrellas are an additional 20% off. Get ready for summer at Sullivan's. I'm Matt Baer. Follow us for instant traffic updates at WIBC Traffic.
We've had some cars run into the barrier wall, not paying attention. They were on their phone.
Texting, scrolling. Yeah, it's bad.
Most often they be on their phones or they're just not paying attention. They can cause a crash.
We could stand on the side of the road and watch every other vehicle looking down into their lap as they're passing us. You know what they're looking at. They're looking at their phone.
Phones. On their phones, not paying attention.
Phones.
I'm not a mathematician, but I say probably about 80% of the people who pass me are on their telephones.
No call, text, or video is worth putting yourself or a road worker in danger.
When driving through construction, LIUNA members ask you for your sake and ours.
Slow down. Stay off your phone, please. Be aware of where we're at, where the cone zones are at.
Stay off your phones and buckle up and drive safe.
We're not asking for much.
This is Ray Hobbs, business manager of Labor's Local 741. Everyone deserves a safe place to work. Do your part in the cone zone. Slow down. Save a life. We're all in this together.
A message from Labor's International Union of North America and affiliated locals.
Dreyer and Reinbold serves all your automotive needs. At I-465 in Keystone, we offer BMW, Infiniti, and many. On US 31 South in Greenwood, we have BMW, Infiniti, Subaru, and Volkswagen. Since 1968, we've sold high-performance gas cars, and we still do. But now we have plug-in hybrids and fully electric cars, like the Mini Cooper, BMW iX, Subaru Solterra, and the Volkswagen ID4. Shop our great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles in person or at DreyerReinbold.com. Gas, hybrid, electric.
Would you know if someone you love was having a stroke? Franciscan Health is here when minutes matter. Like knowing when to be fast. Recognized by HealthGrades as Indiana's number one provider for stroke care, Franciscan Health Indianapolis wants you to know how to spot the signs and lower your risk for stroke. Because time loss is brain loss. Protect yourself and those you love today. Learn more at franciscanhealth.org/strokecare.
Indiana's economy is reaching new heights. Driven by our state leaders, Hoosiers are seeing a historic boom, including $32 billion in construction in central Indiana alone. The Indiana Union construction industry was built for this moment. More than $63 million are invested in apprenticeship training each year, including expanded recruitment at over 60 training locations statewide, all at no cost to taxpayers. We've elevated our technical skills and strengthened our workforce, ensuring local workers, not out-of-state crews, are the ones building these landmark projects. The Indiana Union Construction Industry. We are built for this.
Hi, I'm John Hooker, president of the Central Indiana Building Trades Council. I'm proud to represent the union construction workers who build the Indianapolis skyline. Providing the trained workforce of today for the construction projects of tomorrow, the Central Indiana Building Trades are skilled on principle, union by choice.
We build Indiana. The Laborers International Union of North America builds and maintains roads, bridges, and other essential infrastructure that make us the crossroads of America. So thanks to LIUNA members' work, Hoosiers have a better quality of life, like access to utilities, easier routes to jobs, schools, or medical care, and deliveries keep moving. We build Indiana for good jobs and stronger communities. The Laborers International Union of North America. We are LIUNA.
It's about speed. It's about the American spirit. And it only happens here. Race on, Indiana, knowing Hubler's got you covered on pre-owned vehicles. Shop any of Hubler's 13 convenient locations and choose from over 2,000 vehicles, including pre-owned Chevys, Fords, Toyotas, GMCs, Buicks, Nissans, Acuras, Mazdas, Hondas, and many more. No matter where you're racing to, Hubler's got you covered for 100,000 miles. Visit drivehubler.com. Cover me! Warranty on select models less than 9 years old.
The biggest party on dirt is back at Eldora Speedway July 15th through 18th for sprint cars at the Kings Royal and Joker's Jackpot. Buy your tickets today at EldoraSpeedway.com.
Start your engines for the Andy 500 at Andy Moore Automotive. Get more for your money with thousands of new and used vehicles in stock and ready to go. AndyMoore.com, where more means more.
A good race leaves you on the edge of your seat. Dealing with your insurance shouldn't. Talk to a dedicated Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent and let's insurance together.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
Back inside the Hensley Legal Group Command Center. It happens higher. Hensley, you're listening on your place for the race. 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan, not to mention 93. WIBC, Greg Rakestraw, Kurt Darling with about an hour and 15 minutes again because of the race running a little bit extra. Our day of coverage is going to be a little bit extra. We had scheduled to stop at 7. We are going until 7:30. We will start to get back to more of your social media comments, and let's face it, this is a race that has more than 33 storylines. We've only touched on about three or four of them so far. However, when the winner is talking, we want to get back to him as quickly as possible. Again, back upstairs to the live press conference featuring your Indy 500 champion, Felix Rosenquist.
Explain that feeling that
you want it so much, and you have so much adrenaline that you literally don't care if you're going to crash. You're just going all in. And it was cool that that's what it took to win it as well.
So good they swept the high line then when those under caution? Under
yellow. Yeah, and it wasn't a lot of marbles either. Right. It was a very marble-free day, and I think whatever Firestone has done on previous ovals, they probably did the same here. I'm not sure if that's a fact or not, but I couldn't even see any marbles all day.
Interesting.
So the Highline was probably way more available than it has been in the past, especially on the restarts. But even during the race, I did some passes, and it seemed to work pretty well. So, yeah, makes for a good race for sure.
All right, just a quick heads up. I know everyone's having some conversations. If they could keep it to lower than the volume that it is right now, that'd be great as we continue on with our champion here at the 500. Wyatt, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Felix. Howdy, and congratulations. Over here.
I see you. Oh, there you go.
congratulations. Closest finish in Indy 500 history. After 70 lead changes, also the most in IndyCar history. Has that really sunk in that you've won probably one of the most historic Indy 500s that's going to be talked about for generations to come?
No, it hasn't. I'm a pure racer, and all I really care about is, like, I was going to be happy if I won it on a yellow. You know, you're always going to be happy winning a race, but to win it like that is just such a bonus. It makes it three times more special to me, because I love when it's, because I would have loved to watch that. I would have paid a lot of money to watch that race, and that's what it's all about, you know, to create a good show. A fair racing, hard racing on the final lap like that, it's just, and to be the one doing the move, it's there's nothing like it really. And I've never had a more exciting finish ever, and to have it here is just lucky, I guess.
The caution with Kyle Collette at 8 to go or so, you pretty much had it in the bag there. Were replays of, I mean, Long Beach with Pelot beating out you up at Road. Were there just replays of that going on with the team, or especially with leading with the 5 or 5 to go restart?
A little bit. I definitely got a little deja vu from that moment when you've been, I think we were pretty much controlling it with a fuel game, because I was able to suck up to that pack, and I knew Pato had a hard time with the fuel, and he wasn't able to stick with the pack, and so he was basically in trouble, and I just knew if this is going to go green to land, we got it, like, easy, unless something crazy happens. So then obviously the crazy thing happened, and I got down to third on that first restart, which was kind of the perfect place, because I saw all day that whoever was in third always had a shot at leading the next straight or the next lap. So I was like, this is probably as good as of a shot I'm going to get. And we had it in the bag before, so now let's just refocus here. Let's look forward, you know. And it's always nice to be the one hunting as well, and not be, like, I would hate to be in the lead for that last restart. That's, yeah, it's not a good place to be, unfortunately, for, it was Marcus, right, on that last restart? Yeah. Yeah, that sucks for him. But, yeah, we had a best place in the house then, and we took advantage of it with a great run. So, super cool.
Congrats again.
Thank you.
Let's go. Joey Barnes, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Felix, congrats. I'm kind of curious about the emotions maybe you experienced, because obviously from lap 130 on, whenever you pitted, knowing one more stop, the whole time you know that it's just you versus Pato, more or less, and obviously close friend, best friend. And as you said, you know that you kind of got him. Like, what are the kind of the emotions? Do you allow any of those emotions to kind of build while you're in the car?
Not really. I mean, we know each other well enough that we're both, when the helmet comes on, you're a very ego person to win races. Like, you have to be. You're only thinking about yourself, and all that stuff goes away, especially here at Indy. I think you race teammates maybe a little bit differently. You try, obviously, not to take a teammate out, and you try to be fair, because it would be stupid not to. But dude, like when you're in that position, you don't care who it is. But I was happy that it was Pato because he's very fair. Like he's extremely aggressive, but he always leaves room, and so does David and Marcus. So I was happy it was those guys because I think in a lot of instances that's going to end in the wall for sure.
And then just a second ago, you kind of talked about how maybe being a new father helped kind of unlock some things. I mean, just kind of elaborate a little bit more on that. I mean, just in, because from that sense, it's almost like, man, if you were a father 5 years ago, maybe we'd have this Felix 5 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It unlocks something in you for sure that you never had before. It's new. I mean, I guess there's a lot of parents in this room, and it's a very special feeling, and you, as I said, we all put so much pressure on ourselves, and we also get added pressure from our, you know, our teams or media, whatever it is. Like, you always have way more pressure than you need, really, and you've been learning to cope with it all your life. And I think somehow this was the first time I felt less pressure, because I already had, like, so much. And I come home at night, and I'm the happiest man, even if, like, when I crashed with Pato at the GP when I started third and he was second, day over, you know, but it's like I didn't really care. And I think that's actually a strength, because if you bring the bad results with you home, like you there's going to be someone else that is as good, and he enjoys his life instead of being angry. So it was definitely a turning point for me, and I think I heard many athletes say the same thing. Alex Palou, for example.
Felix Rosenqvist, again, his thoughts after winning the Indy 500. We may get back to that press conference, but if not, a pleasure to hear from him in each of the last two segments of the program. Some quick notes on Felix. Again, this is just his second IndyCar win. He has been a full-time participant in the IndyCar series since 2019. 2 years with Chip Ganassi, as he was driving the number 10. He was the driver of the 10 before Alex Palou. His last win, his previous win, was with Ganassi in the COVID-shortened 2020 season, a race at Road America. Numerous podium finishes or top five finishes over the years. Spent 3 years with Arrow McLaren. This is his third year with Meyer Shank. Runner-up at Long Beach this year, runner-up at Road America last year. In total, he had 4 top fives last year. He had 3 top fives the year before, but his first win in nearly 6 years, and his first win at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Last year, he finished fourth. He also finished fourth in 2022. He now becomes the third Swedish driver to win the Indy 500. Kenny Breck in 1999 and Marcus Ericsson 4 years ago. We'll keep talking about Felix. We'll keep talking with you about all things Indy 500 and Felix's. One of the other storylines that took place today here at 16th and Georgetown. But for a final time this evening, let's get a traffic update with Matt Baer.
Greg, I hate to say it, we're starting to hit on the west side here. Crash southbound 465 after 21st or just south of Crawfordsville Road. The left lane is blocked and traffic has slammed just a parking lot. Back to I-74 delayed 4 minutes. Also a crash northbound 65 right before 71st Street. That has a slow past Lafayette Road almost to the 38th Street collector ramp. Crash High School Road north of 52nd Street and a crash on the southwest side. This is Rockville Road at Girls School Road. Southbound Lyndhurst, one of the bad guys here today as we check it out. It is Stom 25th all the way down to Rockville Road. Check it out. Lafayette Road as those southbound lanes jam at Tibbs Avenue down to 16th Street. Now, if you're traveling eastbound 16th Street at the moment, it is stop and go from the Speedway out to Livingston Avenue. Then pockets are slow until you hit right around Indiana Avenue downtown. Then all this traffic making a break for I-65 grinds down until you hit that MLK I-65 area. Traffic sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden. This is the weekend summer really starts, so create the perfect backyard with Sullivan Hardware and Garden. All premium patio furniture is an additional 10% off, and umbrellas are an additional 20% off. Get ready for summer at Sullivan's. I'm Matt Baer. Follow us for instant traffic updates at WIBC Traffic.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
Back inside the Hensley Legal Group Command Center at Happens Higher. Hensley, continued coverage. Our final hour of 13 and a half hours of race day coverage. Frankly, if you go back to 560, Heroes of the 500, et cetera, we've been going 24 hours strong on 93 WIBC and 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Greg Rakestraw and Kurt Darling, thanks to Kurt Gerald's back in the studios. Thanks to Scott Johnson, the brains of the operation here. Cam Blankenship, others stuck being the engineers in case needed. And hopefully that will not be a need for the final 60 minutes we have together. From Twitter, from Kevin and Lawrence, this year's crowd was by far the earliest arriving crowd that there's been. The seats were almost filled an hour before race time. The energy of the fan base is significantly higher than it has been and is approaching that from the early 90s. And let me give you an example. Kurt and I get here early. Kurt, because he's a psycho. Because I'm on the air at 6 o'clock in the PA booth. And so, thankfully, traffic is not as bad when you roll in at about 4:30 or 4:45. The alarm went off at my house in Broad Ripple three times before 4:10. I was in my car by 4:18, and I was pretty much here inside of the track a little before 5. But my PA shift, I exit at 10:45, and then it's Alan Bestwick and Dave Calabro. And both those guys, independent of the came in at about 7:45 and goes, my God, the traffic to get in today was crazy. And those guys that have police escorts, and even they struggle to get in. So, yes, the passion meter seems to be running pretty high around here for this event.
I may be a psycho, but I'm also smart. Because
at least in this case,
at least in this case, yes, because I was able to get a parking spot in the media in the media lot outside. But that being said, it was, you're right, Rake. It was palpable to see how many people bulldozed their way into this facility as early as they did. Myself and Scott Johnston were downstairs with JMV and Tony Katz earlier this morning, just commenting on just like, there are a lot of people here today, and that's typically the case with race day. I mean, obviously you expect a lot of people, but I was impressed at just how many people crammed into Pagoda Plaza, whether it be for the Fox show over in Pagoda Plaza, as well as our coverage here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan, as well as WIBC in the morning, or just any of the other different events that you had going on in Pagoda Plaza. And so it was truly impressive to see how many people were here today. Of course, obviously it was a sellout, and you just expect nothing less here from the Indianapolis 500.
From Chad in Newcastle, first of all, the Gordon Johncock win had always been my favorite until today. What an amazing race and an amazing job by all broadcasters involved. Chad, that means a lot coming from you. Thank you very much. Secondarily, I wanted to talk about Connor Daly's day, and let's talk about that. Again, I thought Connor had a day that was more good than bad. Kind of at the end, he cycles a little bit further back, ends up finishing 12th. Frankly, he was one of the more impactful cars of the day today. If where you finish is all that matters. All right, let's make sure we state that. But in terms of those that had an impact on the race, probably top six or top seven. And now the question for Connor is, I assume he wants to run the series still full-time, and not because he's now – this is now his 13th 500. Connor's 35, going to be 35 at the end of the year. So my hope is that he still wants to run this series full-time. Now the question becomes, where might that opportunity be? Because Connor clearly has a formula for success here. That formula translates to the other short ovals. You kind of wonder if maybe there's a mid – I'm not sure there's going to be a mid-season change someplace. But if there is, maybe like kind of when Ryan Hunter-Reay came in a couple of years ago and kind of finished a season for a team – I still think Connor's one of the best 25 drivers in the series. I'm just not sure if there's going to be a seat that opens up for him on a full-time basis.
And a lot of that conversation, Rake, has to do with how much budget that a driver brings to particular team.
He's great about digging it up for this race, and he's brought other sponsors to the table as well. again, I got to think there's an opening for him at some point in time.
And maybe that might happen, especially with the new charter, with the way that the charters are going to be shaking out as well. We already talked about the fact that Meyer Shank Racing is probably going to get one of those Honda charters. I would imagine Foyt is probably going to get the Chevy charter,
and
maybe.
And that might be a seat for him there.
Exactly. Yeah. And, of course, and Daly has driven for Foyt before. And so Connor Daly is the epitome of a journeyman driver in the NTT IndyCar Series. In fact, he's made full comment that I think the only team that he hasn't driven for in this paddock is Team Penske.
Correct.
And so, outside of that, you know, you love the effort that Connor Daly, but also the visibility that he brings to
right.
this particular race. He's a storyline in and of himself. He's a local guy. He's from Noblesville, Indiana. Of course, his stepdad is Doug Bowles, who is the president of both IndyCar and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But to that end, despite the fact that he has those relations, he is always competitive in this race. He led a couple of laps today. He was competitive. He was very aggressive on that restart at lap 130. And I thought, Rake, that he had one of the best cars that he has ever had. And he said so himself on Twitter, is the fact that he had one of the best cars that he has had all in any time that he has been able to be in this race. In fact, he posted this on Twitter, and I quote, "That one hurts. Solid all day long. Dreyer and Reinbold gave me such a fantastic race car. Strategy just didn't play out. Got boxed in on the second to last restart. Got passed after the yellow came out and there was no reorder. Brutal. P12, fastest lap of the race." Bottom line is this, you can tell that he's gutted, but you know, you always expect him to be at least talked about in the post-race conversations on how well he did at the Indianapolis 500.
More of your Facebook comments, your Twitter posts as well, based on today's activity at 16th and Georgetown. I want to make sure we tell the story of Alexander Rossi's month here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, really the last week for him. And at some point in time, frankly, we're going to go 33-1. We're going to go from the back of the field to the front and try to cram in as many storylines as we can between now and 7:30. Continued post-race coverage comes your way next. 93 WIBC and 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
Red Rextra, Kurt Darling with you. 93 WIBC, 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Again, the Hensley Legal Group Race Command Center. It happens higher. Hensley, can you down till 7:30. We'll sign off at least from the track for the day. You will still hear programming on both stations. Do not worry. In fact, in the fan, you'll hear Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals between the Spurs and the Thunder. Again, back to your social media comments, at Greg Rakestraw on Twitter, at Kurt Darling underscore play-by-play. Hit me up on Facebook or be like a buddy of Kurt's and just text him, and he might make the show. Same works for me, too, frankly. We're not going to be Jake Query giving our phone numbers, in case you're wondering. From Matt via Facebook, Matt and Floyd's Knobs, great race. Took my son to his first Indy 500. The strategy with the fuel was great. Racing isn't always who runs the fastest lap. Great passing, great fanfare. It lived up to the billing of the greatest spectacle. Kudos to IndyCar and the race stewards for the execution of this race. Flawless. Matt, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And again, I am never one to belittle a fuel strategy race. Like, I can point to a Brickyard result in Ricky Rudd, and I can point to Alexander Rossi's win 10 years ago. Those were fuel strategy races, and they were glorious. In a separate text that Kurt got off the air, he used the word chaos. Chaos was the 2002 Indy 500 finish because everybody was on a different fuel strategy. And that was the one that Elio won unless you ask Paul Tracy. And then Paul Tracy won that race if you ask Paul. But legally, Elio won that race. But there were like five different leaders, the five last laps. So the fuel strategy races tend to be phenomenal. But yes, this race had a little bit of something for everybody.
Well, and that's what this race really ultimately has been for the last decade, is a fuel strategy race. It's all about taking the least amount of pit stops. And heck, that's literally the strategy of the race that has been since its inception. You have teams, of course, you know, back in the 60s doing what they could to not make a pit stop at all, carrying bladders of fuel in their car, which was very unsafe. But
yep.
But either way, you it all comes down to fuel strategy, and that is exactly what happens with the Indianapolis 500. And I want to get to the to your comment about chaos in particular. So my buddy AJ from Muncie, he texted me and said on our conversation about where Connor Daly may end up next year, Santino and Connor at Foyt together would be chaos.
But it'd be beautiful chaos.
It would be beautiful chaos.
We all enjoy it.
I have to say this. If it was Santino Ferrucci and Connor Daly at Foyt, that would be appointment TV for anybody who loves racing in particular, because those two drivers have proven themselves to be the most aggressive drivers in the series, regardless of which type of race you're at, whether it's the Indianapolis 500 or any other race on the series. And so that would just play into the whole factor of just making this race so much more compelling.
By the way, let's talk about one of the more remarkable stats. Santino Ferrucci finishes eighth. Top 10 Tino strikes again.
He has not finished outside of the top 10 in any of the starts that he has made in this race. You know, you talk about Santino Ferrucci. He has always been that aggressive driver like we talked about. And again, going back to his first start in 2019, he has finished 7th, 4th, 6th, 10th, 3rd, 8th, and 5th. That's the best finishing average of any driver in the field, including Alex Palou, mind you. And that just goes to show you how you can be consistent. Now you just have to get across the line first, but still, it is very impressive that Santino Ferrucci has had that level of consistency year in and year out.
From Chantel, the Wide World of Sports quote applies here: the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Kudos to both drivers. And by showing the emotion that both Felix Rosenquist as well as David Malukas did, it shows you how much they care, and it shows you how important this is, and it shows why 350,000 of us showed up here to watch, and in this case, talk about the race, but it also shows you why millions watched and or listened from all around the world. And I will share with you a conversation that I had upstairs going through the food line earlier. The small world we all live in. Kurt and Scott were a couple of people in front of me. The two gentlemen that were in front of me were both from London, and they were here for the first time, and they were blown away by what they saw here at 16th and Georgetown. Again, there's a reason this place has been in operation since 1909, and crowning champions since Ray Haroon and the Marmon Wasp in 1911, while we always keep coming back and thinking about this race that happens one day a year. But a lot of us think about it 365 days a year. That is why we love it. We'll come back. We'll talk about why Ed Carpenter is not writing a Christmas card to Takuma Sato, and other topics we'll get to coming up in just a matter of moments. With you until 7:30 as you're listening to continued coverage of the month of May. 93 WIBC and 93.5 at 107.5 The Fan.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
A great day for the city of Indianapolis. A great day for race fans. Somebody had a better day than Felix Rosenquist, Michael Schenck, Jim Meyer, etc., as they claim a second Indianapolis 500 win for the team. Obviously a first for Felix Rosenquist. Greg Rakestraw, Kurt Darling with you here from the Hensley Legal Group Command Center at Happens Higher. Hensley, 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Thanks to producer Kurt Gerald. Thanks to Scott Johnson, Cam Blankenship, everybody involved from a production standpoint, whether on or off the air, as we are winding down a full day and then some of race coverage. 93 WIBC, 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. From a team standpoint, sadly, I can tell you I had the worst day. That would be ECR. Ed Carpenter finishes 31st. Alexander Rossi finishes 30th. Christian Rasmussen finishes 27. No offense to Christian. We'll put him to the side for now. Let's talk about Rossi and Ed Carpenter, and let's talk about Ed Carpenter. And frankly, I had somebody hit me up and go, hey, can you explain exactly what happened between Ed Carpenter and Takuma Sato? Yes, I can. Early in the race on a restart, Ed's kind of stuck in the middle of a pack. Ed thought that while Takuma did not touch him, kind of took the air out from in front of his car, got Ed loose, he spins, his day is over with after 65 laps. And, well, there's kind of a famous on-track gesture from an Indy 500 from 1999 that was two thumbs up from Al Unser Jr. that when I talk to Al later this week, I'm sure I'll bring up that memory and see what he has to say about that. There was no gray area if you have any level of lip reading at all in terms of what Ed phonetically pronounced a bit differently the first syllable or two of Takuma's name.
More or less, yeah.
As we would say back home, blank you and the horse you rode in on. That is what Ed had to say to Takuma, and so that is the reason why. And again, Ed clearly thinks Takuma's at fault. Takuma's probably saying, hey, I'm just trying to get to the front and do what I can. We know Takuma, no attack, no chance, as aggressive as any driver in the paddock. But because it was so early in the race and Ed had nowhere to go, A, he's out of the race early, and let's face it, both these guys also realize their number of chances to run this race is dwindling. Ed, this was his 23rd race. Taku is somewhere shy of 20 at this point, but Ed's mid-40s. Takuma's about to turn 50. And so knowing that time is short in opportunities here, I'm sure that all boiled up with Ed's reaction in the immediate after.
It just really seemed, Rake, like it was just a very, very unlucky situation that Ed Carpenter found himself in, because it was on a restart and he was following closely behind into a corner, not one but two cars. And as you know, these Indy cars are very air sensitive. They are very sensitive to the air flowing over them, and they need downforce in order to make those turns stick, especially if you're going through the turn with that flat out at 215, 220 miles an hour. And so because of where he was in the pack, and because, granted, he may have ended up having to be there because of the position that Takuma Sato was in, well, that ended up putting him directly behind the jet wash, basically, of two cars, and that took all of the air off the front
Correct.
Of his car, and that is what caused him to just lose all grip, and he spun out, and he ended up in the wall. And so it was just literally a case of aerodynamics and physics working against Ed Carpenter in that situation. And to be fair, you know, I do believe Ed Carpenter has a case to be upset. However, Takuma Sato is not going to change the style that he's been racing with several times, and he's won two Indy 500s in doing so.
And let's also be honest, these guys aren't going to see each other from an on-track standpoint for 50 weeks, because they both won one race a year, and it's this one at this point in time. And as far as Takuma is concerned, he ended up finishing 10th, another top 10 for Takuma as well. All right, I want to talk about Alexander Rossi. We'll do it quick before we got to get to our next time out. Well, it was shaping up to be a great month with him being on the front row. Took obviously a bad turn on Monday with the lone significant accident that we had during the build-up to the race in and of itself. Alexander's always had a great amount of fans. He always will, being a 500 champ. And then, frankly, the public persona he has had off track with Hinch and Rossi doesn't hurt. One of the great characters, and I mean that in a very nice way, in our sport. But the fact that he's out there on crutches, his fellow front row mates help him to the podium, is a sight that's going to be remembered. And then Cargo's kablamo, the exact same car that this happened to last year in the race, it does it again, and he's trying to get out of the car, so he pulls up to the old Andretti Glow. He pulls into Kirkwood's pit to get out of the car, and that team quickly realizes we got to help him out of here and lift him out of there. Frankly, he was smiling after the race was over. I think there was probably a sense of relief to be done. A week he can be proud of, but not exactly a race that Rossi will want to remember.
Definitely some relief in his smile, in his overall persona after that incident happened. But I would imagine, because it was the same car that happened to again last year, again this year, maybe a little bit of disbelief as well.
Maybe it's time to make that a display model only.
Maybe just a little bit,
at this point, if that's the case. And I got to say this, Alexander's 13th in the points. No offense to the race of Detroit, which is great to have on the schedule. I kind of wonder if maybe you think about taking that race off and giving yourself some time to heal.
Especially with what appears to be a significantly injured foot if he's unable to walk on it race day.
If you're up in ambulatory, you're going to run in the 500. We get it.
Yeah.
Kind of wonder if Nikita Johnson might get a look in that car next week. Just, again, not reporting that, just an observation and kind of curious. So maybe that might be the tact that they take. All right. We're going to come back after this quick timeout. We're going to run you 33 through 1 through the field. We got about a half an hour left with you as our race coverage continues on 93 WIBC and 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
You are listening on WIBC, WFNI, and WIBC HD 1, 2, and 3, Indianapolis. That's 93 WIBC, 93.5, and 107.5. The Fan, Greg Rakestruck, Kurt Darling. I know we've got a captive audience because a lot of you are still stuck in traffic. Thanks for putting up with us and listening to us. Hopefully we're making you smile.
You're making progress.
Absolutely. At least there's a litmus test that I have, knowing we're about to leave in about 30 minutes. Of all the great perks I get, like getting to hang with you, Dave Calabro, et cetera, during the course of the month of May. As this show winds down, normally that means there's less traffic in the infield, and cars are moving inside of the track. Now, outside, not so much. But again, folks, when you have, as Kurt put, the city of Pittsburgh that all descends on one spot in a race, it's simply going to take you a little bit of time to get home. Let's start work. We'll do this over a couple of segments. Let's go 33-1. We talked about this a lot going into the race. Unfortunately, because she was one of the first two cars out, it was quickly not a story in the race. Catherine Legg lasted 18 laps in her attempt for the double. She is now running at Charlotte down at Coca-Cola 600. So she won't be able to complete 1,100 miles. She will take part in both races in the same day. As you saw if you were at the track by the involvement that ELF had, clearly they have bought in. My guess would be Catherine will do this again next year.
Oh, without question. I mean, A, it's a really good story, not only the fact that she's attempting the double, but, of course, being the first woman to ever attempt it as well, and the prospect of being the first woman to ever complete it as well. So, without question, I expect her to be back next year to do it again.
And, by the way, for those of you that have not seen the wreck, she and Ryan Hunter Ray did not touch. Ryan lost control of the car. He said in his post-race interview that thing was a handful from the start, and he was fighting it the brief time he was on the track. Catherine had to kind of make a choice. Am I going to try to veer early and get inside of him? Do I think there's a window between car and wall and go outside? She chose outside. She saw the car closing, and she basically sacrificed her own car to not hit Ryan Hunter Ray. She did a great job of avoiding him. Unfortunately, it cost her her day and her chance at the double. But again, that's not on Catherine. She will finish 33rd. Again, hope we see her back here next year. And clearly, she has done what every racer is hoping to do. Kind of find a sponsor where you go, hey, here we go. This was still a good month of May for Catherine.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Yep.
All right, so Ryan Hunter Ray finishes 32nd. Ed Carpenter, 31st. Alexander Rossi, 30. Will Power, 29. Joseph Newgarden started because of the one-day qualifying format, whiffed in the session last Sunday, got stuck running from row number 8. He made up a lot of ground quickly, and then unfortunately put a wheel a little too low in turn number 4 and lost control of the car. His day was done after 75 laps. And Joseph Newgarden finishes 28th.
It was another one of those early restarts that Newgarden lost control of that car. But this is going to be one of those months of May for Newgarden where he's probably going to want to put it in the rearview mirror and not even look at it in the rearview mirror rather quickly because of how badly qualifying went for him. He had eliminated all of that in the race, but still that crash puts him well back in 28th position in that one. And so either way, just looking to next year and the rest of the season for Newgarden.
Christian Matt Rasmussen was 27th, and none of the ECR cars were a factor. 26th. Was Kyle Collette, who frankly had a better race than that, but again had that crash with 8 laps left to go that brought out the red. Obviously qualified in the fast 12, and then because of an equipment violation got sent to the back, but yet, in part because of fuel strategy, had raced his way toward the front, but will not have the finish that backed that up. Again, still largely a good month for the rookie from Brazil driving for A.J. Foyt. Elio Castro Neves, you know, when you get late in the race, you kind of lose track of those that exit the race. He exited with 5 laps left to go with a mechanical issue. And it became noticeable when he was there to hug Felix Rosenquist after he won. You know, wait, what? How did that get?
Didn't you just finish the race?
That is what happened. So Elio finishes 25th in what is his 26th consecutive Indianapolis 500. And as you mentioned earlier, he has now become the all-time leader in miles completed or laps completed passing A.J. Foyt. So that's a statement that deserves time to marinate on it. No one has completed more laps in the history of the Indianapolis 500 than has Elio Castroneve.
And that all amounts to 12,490 total miles.
But who's counting?
Oh, that's right.
Apparently we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that on top of that, like I said earlier, nobody's won more money in this race than Elio Castroneve. He's the richest driver to ever compete in this race as well. So just adds more gravity to just how great he has been in this race.
Those are the nine cars that were not running at the end. There were 24 cars that were. And we'll try to recap those when we come back on 93 WIBC at 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
From the Hensley Legal Group Command Center, it happens higher. Hensley, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan, 93 WIBC. Greg Rekstra, Kurt Darling. Through about 20 more minutes or so again on The Fan, we lead you up into game number four of Spurs and Thunder, the Western Conference Finals. Fox News Sunday can be heard on 93 WIBC. 24 cars finished running at the end of the race. Congratulations to Jacob Abel. He completed his first Indianapolis 500. Again, did not make the race last year. And Abel was sponsored by Texas Roadhouse, so I thought about cinnamon butter every time I draw his car. Stingray Rob finished 23rd. Jack Harvey finished 22nd. Louis Foster finished 21st. Graham Rahal finished 20th. Dennis Hauger finished 19th. Now, as the fuel cycle strategy was playing out, rookie from Norway actually had kind of cycled towards the front. Unfortunately, as he slammed on the brakes to get into pit lane, and it's a rookie thing. You get it. You understand it. Not a guy with an oval track background. Just couldn't get it to use the NASCAR term, woed down in time. And he ended up having a drive-through penalty that ended his day. Overall, though, for he and for Jacob Abel, those were good days because they finished the race.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dennis Hauger, had that penalty not happened, really would have been the saving grace for Dale Coyne at that point. Of course, we'll talk about Romain Grosjean here in a minute, but still a really good showing for Dennis Hauger in his inaugural Brickyard 400, in Indianapolis 500, I should say.
The best finishing rookie was Mick Schumacher, who finishes on the end of the lead lap at lap 18, and again, or 18th overall again. He ran 500 miles, win for Mick Schumacher.
And he completed all 200 laps, so he finishes on the lead lap like you talk about, and really awesome to see Mick Schumacher at least have a really good showing. You know, he was kind of caught up in a few things there late in the race, but still excellent showing by him.
Kyle Kirkwood, or Christian Lundgaard, 17th, Kyle Kirkwood, 16th again. It was simply too much to overcome for him to come all the way from the back of the field when they missed on qualifying. It kind of cast one of the best drivers in the series just a bridge too far. Scott Dixon finished 15th. Frankly, he was more of a factor than that. But again, Scott will go at least 19 years between Indy 500 wins. If he gets another one, and again, he has had one of the absolute best careers in the history of this sport. You know, the only two guys he has left to catch in terms of career wins, you know, AJ Mario, and frankly, Mario's in that same boat, being a one-time winner. Scott finishes 15th. Kiffin Simpson, 14th. We talked about Marcus Ericsson. Was kind of in the top 10 late and ends up finishing 13th. Connor Daly, 12th. It's a good result for Nolan Siegel, finishing 11th. He needs some results to turn around for he and Arrow McLaren.
Talk about a driver who literally flew under the radar all day long and had a solid result. And you put it perfectly there, Rake, is the fact that he needed a good result. And I'd say that he more than got it here at finishing 11th here today.
Takuma Sato finished 10th. Romain Grosjean finished 9th. Anytime there's a top 10 for Dale Coyne Racing, that is a good thing. Santino Ferrucci, 8th. And considering what the conversation has been like in IndyCar for the last several years, the fact that we're now just kind of talking about Alex Palou at the very end of the show, finishing 7th. Not that he was out to lunch. He was just kind of on the wrong fuel strategy. And then even when the cautions happened, he was just far enough back where he could never get to the front. Now, from his points championship, he actually widened his lead today. And if he wins this year, that's 5 in 6 years. And that is a streak that really we have not seen. But the bar is set so high for him that when he finishes 7th, you almost feel, sense of disappointment
just
about it.
Just a little bit, but no, you're right. You're right, Rick. They were just on the wrong strategy today, and typically that's not the case for Alex Palou and Chip Ganassi Racing, but the other cars gambled, and that gamble paid off.
Sixth Arenas VK. That's a really quality run for the Junco Salinger team. Marcus Armstrong finished fifth, and again, overall, he should be happy. But knowing that kind of the roulette wheel spun his way, and on that next-to-last restart, just could not really get it going, I know he was bitterly disappointed at the end of the race.
Of course, he almost was in position to win that race when that caution came out with two laps to go, but they were able to get that quick restart again. But still, best career finish for Marcus Armstrong.
Pato O'Ward finished fourth. You heard the dejection in his voice at the end of the race, and I think he would tell you he overachieved to a certain degree finishing fourth. But knowing how close he has been, he did not find solace in finishing fourth today.
It's his sixth career top 10 finish in the IndyCar, in the Indy 500, and it's his fourth top five finish, but also his third consecutive top five finish, so he's certainly been consistent.
Scott McLaughlin had his best ever Indy 500. He finished third. A couple of things in the press conference when he goes, it's kind of like Christmas Day when everybody gets presents. I thought that was very insightful. And secondarily, when he kind of looked at David Malukas and said, I reckon both you and I have a chance to win this race at some point in time, I would agree with that. Again, the Penske bar is so high. Either you win or you didn't. I still thought a really good showing for Scott McLaughlin.
Well, considering the fact that he started on pole in this race, he holds the pole speed record here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The results haven't really been there, and he gets his first Indy 500 top five finish today.
David Malukas, runner-up for a second consecutive year. Felix Rosenquist, your winner for the first time at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. We will go over some of the other featured factoids from the day. We will talk about the points championship, and we'll talk about the schedule the rest of the way. It is on to Detroit for the NTT IndyCar Series. We will wrap up another month of May in Indianapolis when we return on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan and 93 WIBC.
Post-race coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 is brought to you by Quality Supply and Tool, an American original. Indianapolis, Lebanon, Bloomington, Jeffersonville, and Lafayette. Quality Supply and Tool. Think outside the box. Store.
Back for a final time today and for the month of May from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on 93 WIBC, 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan. Again, thanks to our friends at the Hensley Legal Group for sponsoring our command center all month long. In the case of the 500, it happened. Hire Hensley. Curry, got about 3.5 minutes left to go. Give me your top factoids you have written down about today's race.
Well, that's now 17 wins in the Indy 500 for Honda engines. Of course, this is the ninth time that a 34-year-old has won the 500, the third Swedish driver ever to do it. We now have 77 different winners of the Indianapolis 500 since its inception in 1911. This is the first time that car number 60 has won the race. It's also the eighth time that a driver has won from the fourth position. We had 628 on-track passes today, just a little bit shy of the record from 2024, 649, but 70 of those were for the lead, which is the most all-time in race history. We had 14 different winners as well, and 24 cars finishing on the lead lap today. Either way, the closest finish in Indy 500 history at 23 thousandths of a second. That's the record here for this year's race.
So the point standings are as follows after seven events ending to Detroit next Sunday. Alex Palou has a 44-point lead over David Malukas. Malukas jumps Kyle Kirkwood, who now is at 224. Christian Lundgaard is next at 195. I would probably say the points championship comes down to the top three. And honestly, Palou's probably got to make some mistakes, or he is going to win for a fifth time in 6 years. I'm not going to go over the entirety of the schedule. Here is what is next. It is a gauntlet. The next 2 weeks, Detroit, and then it is to St. Louis for a Sunday evening start, but always a fun race, the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. The races then get stretched out after that, and you got to remember, IndyCar's kind of got to work around the World Cup with having the same television partner as Fox. So you'll have some more gaps in the summer schedule than you're accustomed to. That is the reason why. Final thoughts on the month of May in Indianapolis.
This has been an over-the-moon month of May here. Of course, Felix Rosenquist winning in the closest finish ever here, Greg. And I just love the direction that the 500 is going to, and I expect just as much going into next year here, as we're now 371 days until the next Indy 500.
And I'm glad you pointed that out. Yes, folks, it's more than a year because Memorial Day moves back a week next year. So hence, the race moves back a week next year. We are 53 weeks away from running number 111 of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. Kurt, a real pleasure. Thank you.
Likewise, Greg. Thank you.
This would not be possible without so many great folks behind the scenes at Radio 1, Urban 1. Again, our entire engineering staff. There are not many radio operations that pull off what this group does for an entire month away from a studio the way that it has been done here for seemingly generations. The guy that has been a part of that for 33 years is the fellow to my right. That is Scott Johnston. I'm amazed by him and lucky to work with him on a regular basis. And I have now had the honor for the last 13 years of having the final word for the month of May on these radio stations. That is not lost on me. Folks, I hope we know how lucky we all are that this event happens every year in our backyard. We are so lucky. We are so blessed to call ourselves Hoosiers. Good night and God bless. Congratulations. Felix Rosenquist, thanks for listening.